is north, south, east, or west, and I become frightened. I become frightened for my life. I come to the point where it gets dark, and I'm afraid of what's in the forest. Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. So he's afraid. And he gets to the point where he hears some coyotes howling and some things moving around in the forest. And he gets to the point where he finally falls to his knees and he says, "Lord, please help me out of this mess. I am surely going to die." And then someone, they listen to this story and they ask him, so what happened? Did God answer your prayer? And he says, "No, about that time a guide came and showed me the way out." You see, many times that's kind of how we are as people, aren't we? We have a tendency to not see where God is working or not be grateful for the things that God has done. This shows in many places in our lives. We'll walk outside and the sun is shining on our face and it's a beautiful day, right? No wind, 75 degrees, and we'll complain about something, right? Or we'll be eating the same old cereal, right? Every single morning we'll be eating the same old cereal, right? And we'll be complaining about, "Man, I am tired of Lucky Charms, you know? I am tired of this." And yet there's people all around the world that don't have any food to eat. Now this happens to me. That point gets a little personal because I go to Costco, right? And I see the palette of Lucky Charms. And I like Lucky Charms, okay? But I don't need that kind of commitment in my life, okay? I don't need a palette of Lucky Charms. I don't care how good of a deal it is. I like to have a little variety. But yet we complain about those things. We'll complain about a job, right? We'll complain about our job, how, "Man, I hate my job. Oh, my boss. Oh, yeah." I mean, that happens to me all the time. I talk about my boss. You know, we complain about that. But yet we need to be grateful that we have the ability to provide income for our families. You see, this is why Thanksgiving, this time of year, being grateful is so, so important. And this is where we're going to be talking about some of these things this morning. So if you would, turn to your Bible and just put your finger there on Luke chapter 17. And that's where we're going to go in just a second. God has blessed us far more than we realize. Far more than we realize. In over a quarter of the countries on earth, people don't have the ability to worship as they please. They don't have meals. But yet we have all this prosperity. There are many barriers, I think, that keep us from responding to God in an appropriate way. A lot of this happens because of our attitude, because we kind of don't really think about the big picture. In our passage today, we're going to find 10 lepers who were in need of healing in chapter 17. And let me tell you a little bit about leprosy. I think this is some really good background to kind of set up the message this morning. We need to be very thankful about modern medicine. I hear people say, you know, a lot of times, "I was just born in the wrong century, right? I want to go back to, I'd like to live in 1700 and something, right?" Yeah, where people live till they're like 32, you know? I'd already be dead. Okay, we have a lot to be grateful for modern medicine. And leprosy is one of these diseases that it's very curable. There's treatment plans for that now today. There are things that you can do to help the effects and the all the things about leprosy. But we need to be thankful for those things. And what would happen is this disease called leprosy in the Bible. It was a disease that attacked the skin. It was something that basically what it does is your body's immune system attacks itself. And what we see is that it creates these blisters, these tumor-like things on the skin, and these things become infected, and they affect the nervous system of your body. And before long, you lose the ability to feel pain, and you lose the ability to know that you have an infection. And that's what leprosy is. And leprosy, it follows this general pattern. First of all, there's a patch of skin that becomes discolored, that kind of starts out in a small space. You know, I know all of y'all have like saw like a freckle or something, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have cancer. You know, you ever done that? I don't always look at WebMD, but when I do, I know that I'm going to die soon, okay? But that's how leprosy starts. It starts with just a little patch in the, on the face or and on the skin, and it begins to kind of grow. And what happens is that patch, it turns white, it turns pink, it spreads rapidly in all different directions. And before long, that this disease, it will start to deteriorate the skin. You'll lose your eyebrows. It'll begin to really be and beware. If you Google images, this is really bad, okay? So be careful. And it begins to affect the internal organs of the body. It begins to really just spread everywhere. In this tissue, it begins to disintegrate, and it disforms the hands, it disforms the feet. And finally, it destroys those nerve endings. And it's a horrible thing. And in the Bible, in Leviticus, we can turn to Leviticus and see how do we, and for those reasons, Leviticus talks about in 13, chapter 13 and 14, it gives special instruction on the diagnosis and treatment of this disease. It essentially says that any swelling or rash or infection must be immediately presented to the priest, okay? So if you thought that you had leprosy, if you thought you had a spot on your skin, you would then go to the priest. And the priest, he would examine the sore, he would examine the color and the surroundings of the sore and all these different things, and he would inspect that area. And then he would quarantine the person. So you didn't go into quarantine. At the end of 7 days, the infection would, if the infection disappeared, you could then return to society. And unfortunately, if the sore did not go away, you were banished forever. In Leviticus 13, it says this, as for the leper who has the infections, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So to have this disease, you are completely banished from all of society. You could only hang out with other lepers. No hanging out with everybody else. You were ostracized. You were kicked out. And as we see in this, in the background of this text, as we see here in chapter 17, where Jesus is healing 10 lepers, let's take that context into this verse. So let's read that verse. If you would, let's stand. Chapter 17, verse 11, it says this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? So no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? Then he said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this passage this morning, as we look at the implications of being thankful, to give you credit, to give you our gratitude for the gifts that you give us and the things and the ways that you work in our life, God, we pray that you would speak through your word, that you would speak through Adam as he comes, and God, that your word would penetrate our hearts, and it would change the way that we think and act and the things that we do. In your name I pray. Amen.
It's a condition, as John just told us, that would basically ostracize you from the rest of the world. And once you've been ostracized, there's really no coming back. But I think that there are some things that we can really take from the passage and apply them in our personal life that will give us a picture of both freedom in Christ, but also revealing what others may feel when they're outside the body of Christ. And so the first thing that I see from here is that all 10 lepers were separated. They were separated because of the disease that was in them, the disease that was among them, and they didn't want that disease to be shared and to go out. And so all 10 lepers were separated. They were ostracized and put apart. Leprosy is a picture of spiritual disease. Okay? And so what I want us to think about this for a second is as you see kind of the background, and you understand the background, that if someone were to see someone with leprosy, or you believe that you were to have leprosy, you were to go and show yourself to the priest. And the priest would then acknowledge the fact, hey, you may or may not have leprosy. We'll separate you for a period of time, and then you'll come back to see whether or not you have that leprosy. But one thing that was noted is that once someone had leprosy, they knew that they had leprosy. They knew that they were contaminated with that disease. One of the things that I think as believers that makes it difficult sometimes to preach the gospel is it's difficult for us to kind of convince or encourage people that they have a problem, that they have a spiritual disease. I want you to know that those who are separated from Christ at this very moment, those who have never put their faith in Jesus Christ, those who have never seen the picture of the blood of Christ and accepted that picture, they are separated. They don't have Christ in their heart. They're dead in their sin, just like we talked about in our baptism just a few minutes ago. Completely separated. And by the way, all people, once we have sinned, face this separation from Jesus. Every single one of us in this room have at some point in time faced the separation from Jesus, from Christ. What we see in the passage is that these folks who were lepers and they were separated, they knew that they had been separated. They understood that there was a physical disease. They understood that they were to be away from people. In fact, if people were to come up to them, they would say, "Stay away, unclean, unclean." When we think about those who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, one of the things that we need to be mindful of is the fact that we, when we're separated from Jesus pre-Christ, before we have asked Christ to come into our lives, we are unclean. And that's a difficult story to proclaim to those outside the body of Christ, right? If you were to go to a restaurant this afternoon and someone would say to you, "Well, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior," would you say, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from me"? Absolutely not. What we see here is that leprosy is this idea, this picture of spiritual disease. It's that picture of spiritual disconnection. Now, I want us for just a moment to revel here. I want us for just a moment to take this concept in. There's nothing exciting about being ostracized or separated from a group of people, much less the people that you love. Even today, we have issues in our culture where we talk about this idea of bullying or hurting someone's feelings, and we see struggle there. I'm a parent of teenagers. Believe me, I know the struggle's real. People don't like to feel ostracized and separated. And so whenever we see someone or encounter someone who doesn't know Christ, we should never start with unclean, unclean. We should always make sure that we help them understand the picture of wholeness and freedom in Christ. Yet in so many ways in the church, what do? We say if they've got a particular sin, especially a particular sin that we're not fond of, stay away. I know that this probably doesn't happen in your household. Surely it doesn't happen at Highland Baptist Church, but there are times when we see someone's sin, and that particular sin that seems in our culture to kind of be a big one, and we spend a little time talking about what they've done. And what we're trying to do is not really necessarily put them down. We're trying to lift ourselves up. This idea of leprosy was the picture of disconnection. It's the picture of disease. I want to make sure that each one of us understand our place here. That each one of us, when we sinned, the scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We may not like it this morning, but each one of us have experienced spiritual leprosy. Yeah, maybe our hands weren't turning a different color. Maybe the skin wasn't starting to peel, but I will tell you this, we were wretched in our sinning. It's easy to diagnose someone who has leprosy. We can see that. It's easy for them to say, I know that I'm different. I know that everything has changed in me, and I know that I'm separated. But every single one of us spiritually found ourselves in the same condition. I'm going to tell you this. No leper, not one of the 10, was like, hey, I've got leprosy, but it's not a bad leprosy. In fact, it's a pretty decent leprosy. I'm not peeling as much as those guys over there. My voice is still here. I'm a little bit better than the rest of them, and so maybe I don't have leprosy at all. Let me tell you something. When you sin, one sin, total separation from Christ. We ought to always know that story. And by the way, that sounds pessimistic. It sounds ugly, but there is victory in Christ. When we know Jesus Christ, all of that disease, all of that disconnection has been taken care of. And we know Christ. And if you know Christ, not only has your disease and your disconnection been taken care of, but you ought to spend time helping other people to connect and to heal and to be cleansed. All 10 lepers here, they were not just separated. I want you to know that when you're separated, you just don't stay separated and say, well, we're separated the rest of our lives. Let's not worry about it. Let's just have our good life here. They're always, and I believe this, that these lepers, they were seeking. They were seeking. When Jesus comes in, what do you see? Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on me. Again, the word has kind of gotten out, right? That this man who walks around, he's doing something extraordinary. He's doing something that really nobody else has done. And people see that and view that in the physical sense. But Jesus' main job was to come and heal people spiritually. And all of the physical healing that he did was symbolic to show our need for spiritual healing. What good is it a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? I'm going to tell you what they were looking for. They're looking for compassion. How compassionate are we today in the church? How compassionate are we as believers? The other side of that is, how judgmental are we? How many times do we spend time talking poorly about others? It is our job as believers not to put a hedge around ourselves and say, nobody else can come in. It is our job to hold our hands wide open and say, come in, come in. Christ wants to change your life. That's our job. And that's true compassion. Did you know that if you have an opportunity to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have that opportunity to share the gospel, and you do not, you're not showing compassion. That's not compassionate. And as believers, we have the love of Jesus Christ. We ought to be the most compassionate, most compelling, most loving, most encouraging people on the planet. But what we do is we spend a lot of time trying to kind of defend and even respond to ugliness, when what we should be doing is being proactive with the message of Christ. Did you know that my argument hardly ever, if ever, shows Christ? My argument was, hey, you don't know Jesus? Well, let's talk about this. And I tell you, you don't believe in Jesus? When we get to the end of the conversation, I can't believe now you haven't accepted Jesus. That's unbelievable. I can't believe that you... I know that I at least 4 or 5 times a year, I spend time talking about these social media platforms. And just give me 1 second. I promise I'll run on. But these ideas of social media platforms, and we get into these religious battles. I am sure God is upstairs going, get them. Yeah, that's really a good one. You really zinged them there. You really zapped them. Way to go on the social media platform. That was great. I bet that really showed my love to those people. We are to be a compassionate people. And not only were those men looking for compassion from Christ, but most importantly, and perhaps we don't know it, but they did, they needed cleansing. If you see this passage, what is significant in the passage is that Jesus comes to them and he says, go and show yourselves to the priest. We've seen what John just shared with us from Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. You go and show yourself to the priest, and the priest is the one who can say, okay, you're whole, you've been made clean. It's significant to me that Jesus tells the men to go and show themselves to the priest, and they haven't been healed yet. Go show yourself to the priest. I don't know about you, but I'd be like, okay, but he's not going to like this right here, and he's definitely not going to like this right here. Can you kind of heal me first, and then I'll go show myself to the priest? What Jesus is requiring here is the same thing that he requires of us. He requires faith. Faith that the work of God and the purposes of Jesus will be fulfilled. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to have the faith that we need. And luckily, Jesus says we just need the faith of a mustard seed. And sometimes I feel like my faith is smaller than that. But Jesus is telling these lepers, go, show yourself to the priest. He's summoning. He's telling them. He's seeking them. Jesus, he summoned all of these men, and he's telling them, go and show yourself to the priest. Jesus addressed first their condition. What is their condition? They're lost. Physical disease, we've talked about that. They have no hope whatsoever. No hope. And yet what we find is every time Jesus speaks the word, there's hope in Christ. Can I just stop for a moment and remind us that in this current day and age, that we have hope in Christ? I wish that we as believers could live like we understand that we have hope in Christ. Pettiness doesn't show hope in Christ. Ugliness does not show hope in Christ. Useless argument does not show hope in Christ. If you have accepted Christ into your life, you have proclaimed that my life has been transformed and changed, and I am continuing to walk in discipleship, and I want to walk with the Lord, and I want to grow in Christ. Too many believers have no desire to grow in Christ. And let me tell you what that leads to. It leads to us souring. It's like water in a sponge, and you just leave that sponge there, and you pick that up a week later to clean up stuff. It's not the same, right? Too many believers, they soak up, and they never put back in, and they sour. Jesus was addressing their condition. Hopeless, lost. Not only was he addressing their condition, he was addressing their character, which leads us to the final thing that we see in this particular passage, is that while all of them were obedient, only one truly gets it. One comes back to be thankful. One comes back to say, "You did that? Man, incredible. I'm completely clean." I promise you, he did not walk up to Jesus and was like, "Stuff was cool. Let's don't tell anybody." I promise you, that's not the way it works. Every time we see that Jesus changes lives, every time we see this healing in the scripture, we see this celebration happen. We see this excitement happen. And this idea of let's keep it to ourselves is nowhere found in scripture until Jesus, maybe on a couple of occasions, Jesus says, "Keep this to yourselves until the proper time." But the proper time has come. And we are to celebrate what Jesus has done in our lives. And he has changed our condition, and he is transforming our character. I'm asking you this morning. John makes reference to it earlier. Think about the things that Jesus has done in your life. Do we have any reason to complain? "Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I go through. I have a difficult, difficult life." And by the way, I will acknowledge that all of us go through different conditions, even different types of suffering. But what I always go back to is we've been freed in Christ. We've been changed, transformed. So I really see this morning, this passage going two ways. You see that all of the men were obedient. All the people, all the lepers were obedient. But we really only see it declared with one person who experienced the joy in Christ because of his obedience and because of his thankfulness. As we come into our time of Thanksgiving, do we have joy because of what Christ has done in our lives? Are we thankful for the transformation? And if we are, how can we keep silent? How can we keep silent about what he's done in our lives? I challenge you this Thanksgiving season, going into Christmas, we really make the turn right now. I challenge you to be thankful for what God has done. I challenge you to examine yourself, to know who you are in Christ. And I challenge you to be sensitive to those who've been separated, ostracized, put aside. And I challenge you to proclaim the freedom that you have in Christ. Maybe as you look at these lepers this morning, maybe you feel like, "Hey, I'm still diseased and disconnected." And perhaps it is time for you to consider whether you've ever given your life truly to the work of the Lord, if you've ever truly asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, because faith is required of us. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is having a certainty amid even things that we can't see. Is that you this morning? And if it is, what I'd ask of you is that you do what the 10th leper did. You make public this morning that decision and let us celebrate that with you. God, this morning, we have received so much. You have been so good. God, I pray that you would challenge us to walk with you, that you would challenge us to be thankful, that you would challenge us to know who we are in you. God, I pray that this morning, if there's anyone here who's never put their faith and their trust in you, that today would be the day. God, if there's anyone here who's looking for a place to celebrate, a place not to feel abandoned, a place not to feel disconnected, God, I pray that Highland could be the home for those people. God, however you're working in our lives, I pray that we would reflect, that we would respond, and that we would do that as we continue in worship. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Would you stand, Christians praying, an opportunity for you to respond. I'd love to be able to share with you what it means to follow Christ, what it means to walk a transformed life. The Holy Spirit's moving in your heart and in your life. I'd invite you to come, make that public this morning as we celebrate with you. If you're looking for a church home, I'd invite you to make that public. You can also use that card that is in the worship bulletin. However the Holy Spirit's moving, we invite you to come as we continue in worship.
The nails in your hands, the nail in your feet, tell me how much you love me. On your brow, they show me how you're so much to love me. When the heavens pass away, all your scars.